Welcome to Career Tools. This week, interview update 2021. The questions this cast answers are: what changes are there to interviews in 2021? How should I prepare for interviews in 2021? And am I going to get a video interview in 2021?
Folks, we continue to be surprised in a good way about the demand for effective remote manager training, provided obviously over Zoom. I don't think we provide effective remote manager training in person. It just doesn't make sense. And what we do is for those, particularly for those managers who already know the Trinity, we tell you how to apply the Trinity in detail on a remote basis. A lot of organizations are discovering that their managers are not as well equipped to be great managers, in part because distance. You can study it with something called the Allen curve. You can look that up on Wikipedia. And I assure you, the answer is better relationships with your directs at all levels. So come to the website, check out Effective Remote Manager, much less expensive than a full effective manager training.
Sarah, you and I were talking before the cast. Every year we put out a resume update cast, which we've been doing for, I think, 10 years. I want to say it's 10 years. Mm-hmm. And every year we put out a resume update cast to address all the things that we've read that say, oh, resumes are changing.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all going to be different this year. No, it never is because the purpose of a resume has not changed, which is to tell the hiring manager what you've done and how well you've done it. And since that hasn't changed, nothing else changes.
Exactly.
And we started to get questions and articles and things about interviews and how interviews are changing. And so we thought we would extend the format and cover the changes to interviews. So we're going to talk about why interviewing is never going to go away, what to do about candidate profiling, i.e. hiring managers, companies profiling you, and how to deal with video interviews.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. All right. So today's outline, we're going to start by our discussion or talking about prepare to be interviewed. Interviews are not dead. Next, we'll talk about you will be profiled. Don't be an idiot. And video or virtual reality assessments will happen, and they may happen to you.
I like any outline that includes don't be an idiot.
Don't be an idiot. I know. Exactly.
It presages fun for us, at least, if not for the people listening.
Yeah, exactly.
So our first thing was prepare to be interviewed. Interviews are not dead. And we don't want you to be misled into thinking that nobody's interviewing anymore.
Right.
Or interviews aren't happening, or you can get a job without an interview. Yes, there is newspaper inches that say that.
Yes.
And universally, it's not true. Interviews aren't perfect. The interview system, the idea that you can sit down with somebody for a couple of hours, ask some questions, have them answer, and think that that's some perfect correlation with whether or not that person will be good in the job, it can't happen. It's just not perfect. But there isn't a better alternative. Even all the AI stuff, all the, you know, assessment stuff, it's just not good enough or sufficient enough or convincing enough for hiring managers to stop interviewing.
Yes, exactly. Like, let's be clear. Interviews were always imperfect. Interviews are a fictitious reality that is developed to try and measure whether or not someone would be able to do the job if doing it, and to measure how they might do it. The only thing better is watching them do it themselves, right? Hiring them and seeing them succeed or fail. Interviews have never been perfect. And what we have now is the best thing that we can find to achieve some semblance of what reality might look like. So don't think you can avoid preparing for interviews because they're right on the verge of disappearing. They're not on the verge of disappearing. What you're reading about is just, it's a product of the media news machine. It's not reality. Think about it. What makes a better headline? Interviews are dead, or interviews will be continuing as usual per the last 100 years of human society. Boring.
The only place that is a headline is on The Onion.
Exactly.
It's hysterical.
It's boring. No one's publishing that. It's not a catchy, fun, racy story. Interviews aren't stopping.
No. And 2020, a lot of people say 2020 proved that you can have a radical shift in the way work works. That is true. And yeah, of course it is. But there had to be a viable alternative to what we were doing. The shift to remote work could only happen because most of us have high-speed internet at home. And when I say high-speed, I mean not dial-up.
Not dial-up, yeah.
Most of us have a laptop or a capability of connecting into a VPN or something so that we can connect with a company system. Most of us had mobile phones, so we could take work phone calls at home. So if we hadn't had all of those things, we wouldn't be working from home. There's plenty of people who I know. One of my friends works for the Department of Defense, and she is not working from home because they can't put the kind of work she does on a laptop
And risk send her it home
being risk it being lost. And the work she does has to stay within a DoD system. It can't be out on the internet, even if it's just like being sent by email. She doesn't even have a work email address. And so she can't work from home. So the only way this shift happens is if there's an alternative, a viable alternative, and there isn't one for interviewing.
Right, exactly. Now, Wendy and I, actually, the two of us, already recorded our guidance on interviewing via Zoom, which, to be clear, can be generalized to any other video platform. And interviewing in general,
we have a ton of podcasts about.
So much. We encourage you to listen to all of it. For 2021, there will be a particular focus that will affect how you interview, and that's remote work, right? How do you work more remotely? Because for most organizations right now, it's at least temporarily remote. And in 2020, if we've learned anything, which we've learned many things, but one of the things I think we can all agree that we've learned and discovered is how hard it is to manage a remote team. The skills that made our team members so successful in the workplace are different skills than made them so successful when working from home. So that's something. If things are going to change in 2021, that's where the focus is going to change. Hiring managers will be focusing on your ability to work in a remote environment if need be.
So you can expect hiring managers to be focused on soft skills. So things like interpersonal skills, leadership, project management, problem solving, good work ethic, teamwork, dependability, conflict resolution, adaptability, perseverance, communication skills, all of those things. Lovely things that are even more important when you're working remotely or you're working away from your team, away from the environment. The environment of work makes a lot of things a lot easier. Like, it makes communication easier because if somebody forgets to tell you something, you still know about it because you're like three seats away from them and you can kind of hear what's going on, or you see them write it on the whiteboard, or someone tells you, oh, hey, I see Joe's working on X, and you're like, wait, when did we start working on X? And you go and ask Joe. So all of that happens because of the environment. And then when you're working alone at home, you have to substitute for that somehow. And that knowledge of that and the ability to do it and keep doing it, you know, the perseverance piece is super important. And that's only one of those skills that I just picked out.
Exactly.
You know, when you're interviewing, you know that everybody else who's interviewing has the right skills for the job. Right. If it's a job as a Java programmer, they all can program in Java.
Right.
Because otherwise they wouldn't be being interviewed.
Right. Yeah. They might have submitted the resume, but they're not bringing them in for an interview.
Yeah. So it's the soft skills. It's the teamwork and the communication and the way people work and their productivity and all of that stuff that separate people. When you're a hiring manager, the difference between people is not the skill. It's all of the other stuff, which we could loosely call attitude.
Exactly. So what that means, guys, is just reviewing a job description. If you have got a job description in front of you and it says that you must have a minimum of 5 years, strong Java, J2EE, object-oriented design and development skills, It requires core Java, servlets, JSP, Spring Boot, REST web services, and multi-threading. You can be assured that all of the candidates have that. So we need to then further examine what makes someone a better hire than another. Because it won't say it in the job description, the exact specifications for those soft skills that they're looking for.
Yeah, the differentiation isn't around what right. you just said with the Java and all that kind of stuff. It's the other stuff.
Right, exactly. And no one's saying they must, I mean, sometimes they do, must work well with a team, be dependable, have perseverance. But even if it doesn't, and when it does, we need to be able to pull from those binary skills, that skill set, because we want, we know that we can translate the above bullet points to say we expect our Java engineers to actively participate in the planning, execution, and delivery for application product teams. Right? What does being able to multi-thread have to do with actively participating in a meeting or in a planning meeting? Nothing. Nothing. It's the ability to innovate, negotiate, and communicate that matter.
In fact, if you could have lower skills in multi-threading, not that either of you, neither of us know what multi-threading is, but anyway, you could have lower skills in multi-threading and higher skills in innovation, negotiation, and communication, and get a job over a candidate who has better Java skills than you. Because it's almost 50-50 with the soft skills and the hard skills.
Yeah. And if you don't know, guys, how to, because you won't get the interview unless you have a resume that is compelling. Again, Wendy and I have already done a podcast in 2020, I'm not sure when, on highlighting soft skills in your resume, which will also help with that.
It's like we knew what was going to happen. So let's have a demonstration. So we've got an interview question, and we're going to give you two answers to the interview question, and you can decide which candidate is better. So the question is, describe a situation when it's been necessary for you to create and maintain data accurately. What did you do to ensure the data began and remained accurate? And if you think that's a good question, it comes from the interview creation tool. And if you're a manager and you're hiring, you need the interview creation tool. So anyway, so we're looking for a situation where it's been necessary to create and maintain data accurately. So here's the first answer.
All right. In my last role, I was responsible for the database tables that held our user profile data. Lots of departments wanted to query and change the data. And obviously, it was important that despite that, it stayed accurate. I used these three methods. First, a list of authorized users who could make changes. Second, data integrity rules to make sure users couldn't put in bad data. And three, frequent backups to make sure we could get back to an accurate state. I enforced the first two by having an online application form to become an authorized user and error messages if they tried to put in bad data. If they tried to put in bad data twice, a message would be sent to their manager, and it worked pretty well.
Okay. So we're keeping accurate data with some fairly standard methods, an online form, sending things to people's managers,
right.
Always good. So that's a pretty good answer. So now here's a different, the same situation, the same answer, but different. And we'll describe how different at the end. I think that'll be clearer. So for example, in my last role, I was responsible for the database tables that held our user profile data. Lots of departments wanted to query and change the data, and obviously it was important that the data stayed accurate. So I used three methods. The first was authorized users. I made sure to have a contact in each department with whom I could communicate about desired changes. When I first started in the job, I spent the first month going around and having meetings with these people to make sure I understood their data and what they would need, as well as making sure they understood the technical details just to the depth that they needed in order to make sure that their changes were good. I would make sure to catch up with that person at least once a month by phone so that we could talk about any changes that were coming up in their department and how that might affect things. Often they'd say, oh, there's nothing. And then I'd ask them sort of less directly and say, oh, well, just tell me what's exciting over there. And then they tell me something. And of course, it would affect the data. They just hadn't put two and two together. Obviously, I had to have a list of authorized users with all the details, but it was the personal contacts in the departments and my monthly catch-ups that meant that people who needed to make the changes always could. And on the flip side, I could maintain the integrity of the data.
Mm-hmm. Now, guys, what I hope you gleaned from listening to those two answers to the same interview question is that they're the same. In fact, I believe the first paragraph of both our answers was identical. It's the same answers in both that describe an authorized user process. The second of the two answers demonstrates communication and teamwork much better than the first does. Right? Now, keep in mind, if your answer to the question we ask would have been the first, that is the second, if using all of that additional communication discussion would be untrue, then you might want to consider making changes to the way you work now so that in the future, you could be able to give the second answer truthfully in your next interview. But at the end of the day, guys, again, it was the same answer. The second, though, really highlighted teamwork and communication skills and Wendy's ability to interface with other departments and understand that there are those situations where sometimes in terms of information or user data or updating profiles, people forget things, right? It slips through the cracks.
Well, they don't her understand, knowledge,
yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Her knowledge of people and how they think and act really came out in the second answer, unlike the first, which was very binary, very factual, very interfacing
and very,
with
you know,
the technology.
Punishing.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I get it wrong and you send an email to my manager. Like, that's not the way to win friends and influence people, as Carnegie had said. If you think about it, companies say, like, the whole world is their talent pool now. That, like, people are, you know, it's not just that, oh, we'll hire cheaper programmers in other countries. It's remote workers. It's digital nomads.
Right.
Everybody's working from anywhere. And so the whole world is their candidate pool. So I looked up how many software engineers there are. Now, I don't know how they work this out.
Yeah,
but, or how data. They defined it, or, you know, this data, but we'll go with it. 21 million software engineers in the world. So that's your competition.
Yeah.
21
Terrifying.
Million people. Yeah, exactly. And the ones that stand out are not the ones who are amazing coders. It's the ones that are great to have on a team who understand how the business works and who, by the way, can code,
they can code.
Too.
Yeah. BS. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Companies may use skills assessments. Those are about basic competence. Do you have the minimum skill set to do this job? Your skills assessments don't measure brilliance or above and beyond, right? In a world where you can Google the solution to every single problem you ever have, regardless of its topic, getting hired, it's not about your baseline skill set. When you're preparing to interview, when you're preparing answers to your questions, keep that in mind. It's not about basic skill set anymore. It's more about working with others.
Exactly. And don't forget to dress the part. We're going to get slammed for this, but I'm going to say it anyway. The suit is still a standard, no matter what you think. No matter if you're interviewing on Zoom with or virtual reality and it's not even a person, wear a suit. It's showing respect for the process and the situation, even if you're not comfortable. And there are places where not dressing in a suit will lose you the interview, right? And there aren't any places where dressing in a suit would lose you the job. So wear a suit, and then you're on the right side of that equation every time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Folks, one of the things we've seen an explosion in the last 9 months since the lockdowns and working from home is the training of international teams. typically one of the toughest logistical problems we have in delivering training for clients is the cost of sending us overseas, and we don't have licensed partners in as many places as we need to. Well, that all changed when suddenly, thanks to something completely out of the blue, the pandemic, we now are all, or so many of us, are working from home. So what we've discovered is clients are asking us to train their international teams. I was just on a session with a bunch of folks doing wheat hybridization, and we had folks from France and Germany and Hungary as well as some of their colleagues from the States. And as long as you can find a time to do it that's convenient for everyone, and so far all of our clients who have asked have been able to do that, we're able to deliver training to people who work together. Managers, senior managers, directors, even some individual contributors who are thought of as future managers. The price is good, and there's no logistical cost for travel and so on. I encourage you to come to the website and check it out.
That takes us then to, you will be profiled, so don't be an idiot. Right? The time, guys, to be clear, of if a hiring manager looks at your Twitter, Facebook, TikTok account is gone. We can agree on that, right? Mm-hmm. That is, now it's not about if they'll look at your social media, it's about when the hiring manager looks at your Twitter, Facebook, TikTok accounts. So what that means is, I can guarantee you they're looking you up on social media. Google your name and remove anything that you wouldn't want to be found, or what can be found that could be misconstrued, and consider carefully how you go forth in the future in your posting behavior.
And it's not part of the formal hiring process. It probably never will be. But if only out of personal curiosity, the hiring manager is going to look you up. And you know that's true because you're going to look them up. I mean,
it's not a secret.
People that I overhear talking in Starbucks. So.
Right, exactly. You're Googling people all the time, guys. They're going to Google you.
And the guidance is so easy. Just don't put on the internet what you don't want to be found. And this doesn't just apply to the posts that you make. Remember, a hiring manager can look at the people you follow, the people who follow you, your connections, all of that stuff, and they'll draw conclusions from it. They can see the reviews you leave for companies and products if you put your real name on them. So it's not just Google your name and remove any website that has your actual name on it. You need to think a little bit more broadly than that.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. In fact, in our Effective Hiring Manager conferences, we talk quite in depth about, I would say, reviewing candidates' LinkedIn profiles, reviewing their social media generally, and what we recommend individuals who are reviewing their candidates' social media is that they look at it as if they were. Think to yourself, if you were the president of this company reviewing this person's social media, would you hire them? If you were a customer wanting to buy the product of this company and you saw this about one of their internal staff members, would that be okay with you? So think of it that way. Reverse engineer it.
And remember that a hiring manager is almost certainly 10 years older than you.
Yes.
What they consider to be okay is probably less than what you would consider to be okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so the last one is video and virtual reality assessments happen, and they might happen to you. If you Google anything, if you just Google interviewing 2021, I bet the first 15 articles are about video and virtual reality. And artificial intelligence and anything else that means that a company never interacts or a human being never interacts right? with an interviewee. And that's because it's interesting to write about, but it is happening, right? Mm-hmm. It is happening. And the guidance we have for you doesn't change.
Right. Exactly. Guys, there are thousands of companies in the human resource recruiting space. One list we saw actually said that there are 164 startups in the HR recruiting space in Chicago alone.
164.
In Chicago.
Amazing.
Right? I know. That's amazing. And each one has some who's pitching stories about them to the media. Big companies, guys, test all sorts of products so that they don't miss out on the next big thing. They want to buy this cool new thing that will really change the way they hire before their competition buys it. So what that means is you're going to frequently read about video, non-human interviewing processes with big name customers, especially. And just because a startup says that, for example, Procter & Gamble are using their software, doesn't mean that they're using it for every hire they make each and every time. It simply means that they've got access to it and are testing it with a small subset.
Yeah, and it might be one guy in recruitment who's like really into new things.
Yeah.
And the moment they a startup sees an email address with P&G on it, they're going to put that on their website.
100%.
And it literally might be, one guy signed up for a free trial and never used it. Now, that's fairly cynical, but if you read these articles and you look at the startups' websites, you see the same companies over and over again, and there's no way that they can be using all of these systems.
Right. And guys, if you work in or have worked in a large organization, you know this to be true. The speed of turnaround in a long-established system takes years. Human resources, recruiting, it's solid. It's been there forever. The speed at which that's going to turn around is years.
And the risk is high. If you think about hiring the wrong person or doing something wrong in the hiring process and being sued for it, and that reduces the speed again.
Exactly. You're way less likely to be interviewed in one of these new processes than the media would have you believe. So because of that, keep in mind that interviews are always going to be about being energetic, being excited, and being competent. Follow guidance, the guidance we have about effective interview behaviors. Whichever system you're asked to use, you'll need those.
Whether it's a robot or a real person.
Exactly.
Same thing.
100%. Just exactly.
Treat them the same.
Yeah, treat them the same.
Interviews aren't going to change in the next 5 years.
No.
I feel like we're going to put out a cast in 2022 that's like, yeah, nothing changed since last
nothing
year.
Changed.
It'll be the world's shortest podcast.
Right. The same.
There'll be more technology because there always is. Technology makes things easier. And part of recruitment is transactional. And so that part of it will be ever more technologized, if that's a word.
Yeah.
But when it comes down to it, it's you and the hiring manager and your opportunity to show them how you come to work every day. And so you want to show them prepared, enthusiastic, energetic, with ideas, someone who appreciates the other people in their team and can work with them, someone with understanding of people and processes. All of that stuff doesn't change.
Exactly.
Because all of that stuff is the important stuff.
For sure.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks, Wendy.
That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with a new topic. Bye, everyone.